This is a podcast from WILL AM 580. To support our station, please visit www.willpledge.org. That's www.willpledge.org.
This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. For Tuesday, February 12th, I'm Jeff Bossert. Coming up, we'll look at green car technology and if they're a tough sell. And we'll have a look at your AM 580 weather forecast for Champaign-Urbana, but first, a look at today's news. Archer Daniels Midland says its corn processing plant remains open less than 2 days after two workers died. ADM and Decatur firefighters say Jeff Miller and Chuck Newgard were overcome by carbon monoxide inside a lab at the plant Sunday night. The cause has been traced to an air handling unit that had caught fire. 16 other employees and 8 Decatur firefighters who responded to the incident were treated at Decatur hospitals. One remained hospitalized as of last night. In a release, ADM says Newgard was a 33-year veteran of the company and Miller had worked there for 17 years. The company says federal inspectors are evaluating the facility. Pontiac and Iroquois County leaders say federal officials didn't spend enough time assessing flood damage before they denied a federal disaster declaration. Pontiac Mayor Scott McCoy says he's also upset the feds are saying local authorities have the capacity to deal with the damage.
It is our belief that these numbers are not only incorrect, but they're not even close. It appears our denial is due to grossly underreported numbers. And now our communities are behind the eight ball, and it's up to us to use our own resources and personnel to do what IEMA and FEMA apparently could not do in a week.
McCoy says Pontiac and Watseka have been unable to get a clear answer from the Federal Emergency Management Agency on how many damaged homes would qualify them for federal help. He says his city and Iroquois County leaders are now pressed for time because the full assessment has to be done by the time Illinois' Emergency Management Agency finishes its report within a week. Renewed flooding in Watseka is making this job more difficult. Watseka Mayor Pro Tem Silas Light says the impact of the denial would be felt for years because those who lost homes and possessions are the ones least able to recover. Southern Illinoisans are dealing with messy conditions after a storm dumped up to 6 inches of snow and ice in parts of the region. Many schools are closed in the area today, including community colleges and Southern Illinois University in Carbondale. Authorities say they're keeping a close eye on power lines and tree limbs, which are being strained by the ice, and sporadic outages are being reported. Weather forecasters say the heaviest precipitation is probably already passed, but a winter storm warning remains in place until noon because more sleet, ice, and freezing rain is expected. In northern Illinois, today's snow isn't expected to bring accumulations close to last week's near blizzard. However, the National Weather Service says colder temperatures will result in snow immediately accumulating on roadways. An Illinois Supreme Court decision allows municipalities to make annexation agreements with developments that are miles away from their borders. Now there's a movement to set new limits on such agreements, and the Urbana City Council is getting on board. AM 580's Jim Meadows has more.
City Council members meeting in committee last night endorsed a resolution calling for state legislation to limit annexation agreements to within a mile and a half of city or village limits. That's what it used to be before the Illinois Supreme Court, in its Chatham ruling 2 years ago, declared that current state law didn't support that limit. Urbana Mayor Laurel Prussing says the ruling worries officials in many communities who fear land near their borders may be targeted for an annexation agreement by a distant town.
They're afraid that a city many miles away could annex land that's within our mile and a half and change the zoning, and that would mess everything up for us.
Champaign used the Chatham ruling last summer when it signed an annexation agreement with Illinois American Water for a new water treatment plant 2 miles west of the city. But Prussing says Champaign officials are now willing to support a return to the old mile-and-a-half limit. The resolution calling for the old limit comes before the Urbana City Council for a final vote next week. The Savoy and St. Joseph Village Boards have approved similar resolutions. I'm Jim Meadows, AM 580 News.
Urbana City Council is exploring a sister city relationship with a city in the Southeast African nation of Malawi. AM 580's Terrell Starr has more.
Alderman Dennis Roberts says a relationship between the city of Zomba and Urbana could be beneficial for both.
I think cultural exchange is a huge thing. There might be some economic development opportunities, perhaps. you know, that we may be able to assist them in raising their standard of living through our knowledge of agricultural hybrid corn.
Robert says he visited the Zomba region on a private trip last August and saw the potential of a relationship between the two cities. Zomba is a city of 100,000 people and home to one of the campuses of the University of Malawi. City Council members approved a motion to investigate a sister city relationship with Zomba last night. City staff could have a proposal ready for council consideration in a few weeks. I'm Terrell Starr, AM 580 News.
Lawyers for a high-profile fundraiser for a number of Illinois politicians, including presidential candidate Barack Obama, have filed notice they will appeal a judge's decision late last month to jail the businessman before his March trial on fraud charges. U.S. District Judge Amy St. Eve ordered Antoine Tony Rezko into custody after prosecutors raised questions about a $3.5 million payment he received through Lebanon from an Iraqi-born billionaire. Prosecutors claim some of the money went to Rezko's friends and relatives who had put up properties in 2006 to secure his release, reducing their financial risk if he fled before trial. Rezko's lawyers filed a notice with St. Eve indicating they would appeal his detention to the 7th U.S. Circuit Court of Appeals. He's charged with scheming to pressure firms wanting to do business with the state for kickbacks. Danville lawmaker Bill Black is among those who say the state's ban on smoking in public places should be relaxed when it comes to certain establishments. The Republican is among those planning bills that seek exemptions from the ban. Black's measure would apply to privately run veterans groups like the American Legion or VFW. He says members of these organizations would have to vote and agree to an exemption before it would apply.
And I've had a number of calls from members of those military veteran organizations that have said, look, we're in our 80s. The people who have called me are World War II veterans. They might like to get together at their facility on a Saturday afternoon for a beer and smoke a cigarette or whatever with their ever-diminishing band of brothers. And I thought, what the heck?
Black says at their age, many in such groups are no longer worried about the health risks associated with smoking. A separate measure would exempt Riverboat casinos from the smoking ban. Harrah's Casino in downstate Metropolis claims it's lost business this year and had to lay off about 30 workers as a result. Black is a non-smoker but says he didn't vote for the ban last year because he felt it was a decision that should lie with individual businesses, not lawmakers. The legislature returns to Springfield tomorrow, meeting for the first time in about a month. For the latest newscast online, go to wiol.illinois.edu/news. This is the AM 580 News Daily Podcast. I'm Jeff Bossert. We're hearing a lot more from automakers these days about new technologies that will save you gas. Most of the technologies they talk about are not in showrooms yet. So when will they be, and which technologies will find their way to your car first? Dustin Dwyer has some answers.
There is already one kind of car out there that will save you a lot of gas. You've heard of it before. It's a hybrid. And it seems like everyone says they want one. They say they do.
I live in the world where I don't deal with what people say they think or what they give to a survey. I live in the world where they write the check.
That's Mike Jackson. He's the head of the country's largest chain of car dealerships, AutoNation. Jackson is pretty much the prototypical no-nonsense businessman. He's also somewhat of an unlikely environmentalist. But Jackson doesn't have much faith in today's hybrids.
70% of our customers want to talk about hybrids when they walk through the door. They're aware of it, they think it's a great idea, and they're predisposed to buy hybrids. You then get them at the table.
Jackson says that's when the customer asks how much extra the hybrid costs and how long it takes to make that money up by saving at the pump. And that's when the deal falls apart.
And we have a 2% closing rate.
Jackson says, plain and simple, most people just aren't willing to pay the extra money to get a hybrid. So he says to really cut gas use, the industry still needs mass market solutions. And the first technology that he's looking out for is something that Ford announced earlier this year. Ford's chief marketing guy, Jim Farley, calls it EcoBoost.
Which uses direct fuel injection and turbocharging to get big engine power and all that low-end torque we love from smaller, inherently more fuel-efficient engines.
Direct injection and turbocharging have been around for a while, but mostly as a way to make cars go faster. Now the idea is to use them on small engines so that when a customer comes in and wants a big, powerful engine, Ford can give them EcoBoost, which promises the same power with 20% less gas and 15% fewer CO2 emissions. Ford plans to put EcoBoost in more than 500,000 cars per year within the next 5 years. In that same time frame, you can also expect to see more diesel engines coming out from all the automakers. Diesel will get you better mileage, and it's now cleaner in some ways than gasoline, but it can create more smog-forming gases such as nitrous oxide. Ethanol is also still out there, but at best, most people say today's corn ethanol really doesn't save any fossil fuels when you look at what it takes to raise the corn. So the big hope is cellulosic ethanol, which can be made from grasses or even used tires. Nobody's found a good way to make it yet. And Mike Jackson, the no-nonsense car salesman, says he's not holding his breath. Instead, he's looking for the real game changer: hybrid vehicles that can be charged through a wall socket and run on electricity alone for miles before a gas engine has to kick in. Jackson expects those plug-in hybrids on the road within 5 years.
The cost-benefit ratio is going to be so compelling, and people are going to be so enthralled at the idea they don't have to go to the gas station, just go home and plug it into the socket. This will win over with American consumers.
The auto companies are scrambling to make a plug-in hybrid. Right now, the race is basically between General Motors and Toyota. Both say they might be able to build a plug-in hybrid by 2010. The problem is the battery. To get the higher charge, hybrids need a new kind of battery, something called a lithium-ion battery. It's the same kind of battery, it turns out, that's used in your cell phone. But there are some challenges scaling that up for an automobile. Lithium-ion batteries can overheat, and right now they're more expensive than the batteries in today's hybrids. But Bob Lutz at General Motors says you can bet those problems will be solved.
Every manufacturer in the world is hot on the trail of lithium-ion technology, and the battery manufacturers all say it's going to work.
And once you have viable lithium-ion batteries, you're talking about cars that can get more than 100 miles to the gallon or better. Most people say the next step is hydrogen fuel cells. With the fuel cells, you put hydrogen in, and the only thing that comes out of the tailpipe is water vapor. Some in the industry say fuel cells could be ready for the mass market in the 2020s. Mike Jackson isn't so sure. He pegs the arrival of fuel cells at somewhere between not in our lifetime and never. For the Environment Report, I'm Dustin Dwyer.
The Environment Report is a production of Michigan Radio. Support comes from the USDA's Cooperative Extension Service, the Gaylord and Dorothy Donnelly Foundation, and the Americana Foundation. You can find photos and transcripts at environmentreport.org.
In the forecast for the region today, cloudy skies, scattered snow showers possible, the high around 25. Cloudy skies tonight, a low around 10 degrees, with gusts up to 25 miles per hour. Mostly cloudy tomorrow morning, then clearing, with a high around 28 degrees. Partly cloudy tomorrow night, lows around 19. Blustery, not as cold Thursday, mostly sunny, with a high around 42 degrees. Mostly cloudy Thursday night, a 30% chance of rain or snow, the low around 25. Mostly cloudy Friday through Saturday, with a high around 32 degrees, lows around 16. This has been the AM 580 News Daily Podcast for Tuesday, February 12th. You can find podcasts of Focus 580, the afternoon magazine, agricultural programming, as well as other helpful information at our website, wiol.illinois.edu. I'm Jeff Ponsert, AM 580 News.